I am just back from Israel with a really important perspective for every Republican, Democrat, independent, and non-voter listening to me today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am coming your way from a hidden location in a building known as a Courtyard Marriott. It's a hotel, but a hidden location outside of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I traveled, well, from when I left my hotel yesterday morning in Israel till I got here last night. It was 23 hours, but I'm alert, refreshed, blessed. Thanks for all those who covered me in prayer while I was in Israel. And please keep praying today as we have an outreach lecture, Jewish outreach lecture tonight before I fly back home tomorrow. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. On my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown. I posted an important new article on Chris Matthews, abortion and Sharia law hysteria. That's on townhall.com. And a clip that we're going to play for you later in the show that I believe will stir your heart. Now, normally Thursday is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, but because I've been in Israel for some days and we've had a Jewish Israel focus for some days, I'm going to be covering a number of other issues today. However, if you have a Jewish-related question, it's always relevant. I'm always happy to take it on a Thursday. So anything you want to ask me, Jewish-related, Israel-related, feel free to call 866-348-7884. Also, last Friday, because of Israel's schedule, I did not do our normal You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. So I'm going to open the phone lines more broadly today. Tomorrow as well, we'll be doing You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. But anything you want to ask me at all relating to any subject relative to The Line of Fire, anything where I've got any expertise, I'll be happy to take your calls today. 866-348-7884. Okay. Before I share some really important spiritual kingdom perspectives that I think will help every one of us, because things are going to get hotter and hotter right up to the elections, and they could get even hotter after the elections, I want to help and encourage you to keep your spiritual focus where it needs to be and share some things that I believe are critically important for us to understand as God's people. So a lot of important things I want to cover today. But first, on the lighter note, leave my hotel in Israel 7 in the morning. There is a taxi driver sitting at a desk in the lobby and says, okay, I can't get you to the hotel now. To the airport now. I've called someone else. He'll be coming in a minute. And he says, tell you what, get in my car, and I'm going to take you over to my brother. He can bring you. I've got to be in... taking someone to Nazareth at 8, so I can't do this. So again, the guy was sitting in the lobby of the hotel at a desk there within the hotel, as if he was officially working there or one of the taxi drivers that the hotel worked with regularly. So I get in the vehicle with him, and I decide I'm not going to speak any Hebrew, just going to be a tourist from America and whatever. So he drives me over to meet his brother in a different part of town. He assures me it's on the way. It's not a problem. He doesn't ask for money. I said, I'll pay your brother. Your brother will pay you fine. It's going to be 250 shekels, which is, about $60, a little over $60, as I was told it would probably cost. Get to the airport, find out my flight into Newark is delayed over an hour and a half, which means I'm going to miss my connection, and I'm going to have to be on a later flight, and that's going to be close, and that's going to get me in really late, hence the 23 hours of travel from beginning to end. But it was good travel, blessed, restful, productive. The Lord stirred my heart on a few things as well. Well, finally, after all the hassles with rearrangements for new tickets and so on, getting everything settled, now go over to currency exchange because I got 150 shekels in change. $400 shekels I gave the driver. He gives me 150. I go to cash them in, and they tell me, the driver ripped you off. This 100 is completely outdated. It's useless. You got ripped off. Yep. More to come. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I am back from Israel in the States, coming your way live, feeling remarkably refreshed. Even got a workout in this morning at the hotel. 866-34-TRUTH with your biblical or Jewish-related questions today. I'll take a wide range of phone calls as time permits. 866-348-7884. Okay, just the end of my little story from Israel. So it turns out the taxi driver, I assume intentionally, gave me a bogus bill. I remember he handed it to me, kind of looked away, thanked me, and whatever. That's probably why he looked away. I didn't know it was an older bill. I haven't studied the bills sufficiently. So the currency exchange guy said, "We can't use this." So I said, "I can't believe that just happened to me." So she gave me her cell phone. I called the hotel. She explained on the situation of the hotel. I talked to the hotel manager. I said, the taxi driver was in your lobby. He was not just standing outside. He was sitting at a desk in your lobby. You got to take responsibility. I said, "Sorry, there's nothing we could do." What was his name? I said, "Who asked for a taxi driver's name when anyway, end of subject. I said, "Listen, if it meant not getting my business together," because we had the whole debacle with them not having the proper rooms we were supposed to have for radio and all this. We had to run around and find things, and they tried to help, but never should have been an adventure like that. I said, "100 shekels, that's $25. I said, "You're willing to lose my business over that?" They said, "We can't be responsible." Anyway, get to my nice hotel, beautiful, nice room here last night at midnight, only to discover that there was a mix-up here and that there was no network cable here, a network connection in the room. And anyway, sorted it out this morning. The staff was super helpful, put me in a hidden room. Is this like a bomb shelter? No, it's not. It's not. But here we are, delighted to be with you, 866-348-7884. Okay, before I go to the phones, before I share some really important election-related perspectives with you, I want to give you an update on the situation I talked to you about yesterday with Gallaudet University, with Dr. Angela McCaskill being placed on administrative leave after, turns out, apparently a lesbian faculty member found out that Dr. McCaskill had signed a petition wanting there to be a vote on marriage, voting against just the legislation being able to redefine marriage, wanting this to be discussed by the people of the state. After she signed that, and it was found out she signed it being confronted by apparently a lesbian professor, she, and I say that because it referenced a woman and her partner, if I understood it correctly, Dr. McCaskill was placed on administrative leave. Well, that's created an outrage. Here she is, the chief diversity officer at Gallaudet University, University for the Deaf. She was the first black deaf woman to earn a PhD there. She served there with distinction, apparently loved by the students. And her own lawyer said, "I still don't know where she stands on this issue. What she stands for is diversity, inclusion, and discussion of issues and freedoms of speech." So it was very interesting to watch the news conference. Someone spoke first, then the attorney spoke, and then Dr. McCaskill spoke. And, of course, she's deaf, so she's reading from a transcript and using sign language. So you're watching her deliver her message in sign language, and then someone else is giving the interpretation. And I just want you to hear a little snippet of what she had to say.
"I'm dismayed that Gallaudet University is still a university of intolerance, a university that manages by intimidation, a university that allows bullying among faculty, staff, and students."
Good for her. Good for her. Yes, that is intolerance, and that is bullying, and that is intimidation. When she's not even allowed to sign a petition as a citizen of Maryland that wants further discussion on the redefinition of marriage and that opposes just going ahead with redefining marriage in the state and wants the people of Maryland to be able to vote on these things and discuss them, that she is going to be fired for position. She said that's how she took the email. And it's another shock. I mean, maybe there's some system, it was the only way to do it. But to notify the person by email after you served there for 23, 24 years that you're being placed on administrative leave, and she said the email said that there'd be an interim diversity officer added in. So in her mind, she just got fired. What an outrage. That is intimidation. That is bullying. That is intolerance. Nothing less. Nothing less, friends. So here's the other question, though. What about diversity and inclusion and tolerance for other views? What if she's the chief diversity officer, what about conservative Christians, or if they had conservative Muslims or conservative Jews or others who just said, we don't want to redefine marriage? What about their views? What about diversity for them? As I've written time and again in the new lexicon, the gay activist lexicon, tolerance means intolerance. Inclusivity or inclusion means exclusion, exclusivity, and diversity means my way or the highway. Good for Dr. McCaskill to speak up as she did, and even for her lawyer to have to say emphatically at the beginning, I want to say plainly, she's not anti-gay. Why do you need to say that? You don't have to believe that we're supposed to redefine marriage to prove that you're not anti-gay. And if you have a different viewpoint on a subject, does that make you anti-gay? I mean, what if every person that disagreed with my viewpoint I called anti-Christ or anti-God or anti-Bible, even if they were saying, hey, based on Scripture, I have a different viewpoint. But that, friends, is what's going on. And perhaps just this image of here's a deaf woman talking about being intimidated and bullied and by the extreme stuff that she had to go through just for signing a petition. And the petition just said, you know, let's not redefine marriage. Let's go through a process of discussion in our state and let the people vote on it. The image of a woman being deaf standing up for this was actually positive to see. And I think that's one reason there's been sympathy for her among gay activists as well as conservatives on both sides. Perhaps this will be another blow to the so-called tolerance and inclusivity and diversity of the gay activist agenda. And for those listening that are not gay activists, hey, I stand for your right to be a free citizen protected by the law here in America, and I would do my best to protect you if you identify as gay, if you're a Muslim, if you're an atheist, whoever you are. I would do my best to protect you from physical attack and vilification. At the same time, I'll hold to my own views. And at the same time, I'm not going to redefine fundamentals of our society to demonstrate some type of tolerance, which is really the ultimate form of intolerance. 866-34-TRUTH. On that line, check out my article on Chris Matthews' abortion and Sharia law. He actually said Tuesday before the election debate that Governor Romney's position on abortion, the Romney-Ryan position on abortion, was, quote, almost like Sharia. So saying a baby in the womb upon conception has personhood status. According to Matthews, you're saying to the country we're going to operate under a religious theory, under a religious belief. And I've got other quotes from others saying Sharia, jihadist, radical Islam, just for any conservative biblical views that we hold. So check out that article on townhall.com. All right, let me go to the phones, and then we come back after the break. I want to lay out this very important perspective that I think we all need to hear as we come into the elections. 866-34-TRUTH. Elsa in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I am so happy you're back in the United States. I pray for you. Thank you for the gift that you sent me with the real kosher Jesus and the DVD from Isaiah 53. Thank you so much.
My joy.
Yes, and I just want to, you know, comment on the professor. I'm glad that she's standing up because we, as Christians, we need to come out the closet. We really need to come out the closet and stand up for biblical rights. And if we don't come out, I've been having a lot of discussion and argument, even with this election. And I am telling you, I can't believe that a lot of Christians' eyes are so blinded. You know, and they're not thinking about their stand for Jesus. And I am, you know, like I said, I don't care who doesn't talk to me. I'm standing for the Lord. I'm going, oh, I'm radical. I am standing up 101% for my Jesus and the law. And I'm telling you, if they don't look at the election and the debates and see all the hidden things, they're blind. They need to wake up. I'm telling you, even I'm speaking out, even black, for black people, they need to, you know, to wake up and see the reality of life, you know. Like, I was in an argument with one sister.
Hey, Elsa, hang on. Yeah, let me just jump in. I appreciate your heart and the passion with which you're sharing all this. We've got a break coming up. You can hear the music. But yes, we need to wake up. We need to share Jesus boldly and without compromise or shame. Back with more. Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Yes, I'm back live in the States, right outside of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Got a Jewish outreach lecture tonight on anti-Semitism, who is the real enemy, which we time with a gospel message. So please pray. Many Jewish folks have been invited from the community, and it's the Holy Spirit that's going to draw them in. So pray that God would bring people with open hearts and minds, and that the talk would stir further discussion, opening of hearts and minds to the reality of God, the reality of his purposes for Israel, and the reality of Jesus the Messiah. 866-348-7884. Because of my Israel schedule changing a few things on radio, I'm opening the phone lines wide to any Jewish-related questions you have on this Thursday, or any biblically-related questions you have, anything you'd like to ask me relative to our areas of expertise on the broadcast. Today's a great day to call as well. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm writing about this in an article. It's not out yet. I've said these things many times in recent years and months, but I want to reiterate them now. Yes, I believe this election is very important. And yes, it's probably true that for several elections now, every election someone is saying this is the most important election of our lifetime. I have a colleague, very solid man, who says that this is the most important election in American history. Could be true. Could be true. I spoke with a colleague today in Jewish ministry, and he said he's kind of hoping, we're thinking, Barack Obama is going to be elected to four more years, thinking that it's going to bring about the demise of America and the waking up of people to their need for the Lord and the waking up of Jewish people to the need for the Lord. In other words, even though it's going to be terrible for the country, it's going to be in the best interest of evangelism. It's an interesting perspective. I have many of my colleagues and friends who are really hoping Mr. Romney will be elected. Let me say this, and then I will get to my punchline. I don't doubt at all that if Mr. Obama is reelected, that it will bring about further moral decline in America, barring awakening and revival, and that it will bring about further attack on religious freedoms, further attack on moral, biblical, family principles. I don't doubt that for a split second. Again, God could turn his heart, but I'm just saying if he continues to govern the way he has these last 4 years, and in many ways it could be disastrous for America. However, I am fairly confident that if Mr. Romney is elected, that he will fairly quickly move to center. And yeah, I would rather see him elected than Mr. Obama. And if the vote was today, I would probably vote for him. I certainly wouldn't vote for Mr. Obama, but I'd probably vote for Mr. Romney as opposed to a third-party candidate or not vote at all. And I am massively more in favor of the Republican Party platform than the Democratic, just on those broader lines. But my strong belief is that if Mr. Romney was elected, that he would pretty quickly move pretty much to the center, maybe the slightest drop right of center, and would not press hard on issues that would be considered divisive and would demonstrate he's, quote, the president of all the people. In other words, it may stop some of the negative direction in which we're going, but it would not make a profound difference, which means with all of the emotion, with all of the rhetoric, with everybody, it's getting so worked up over these things. And then the ridiculous, blatant media involvement. You know, the last debate, I didn't see it being in Israel, but I've read enough and then transcripts of different parts. I mean, there's just a lot of junk going on. And the political commercials are going to air more and more and more, and you're going to get your blood boiling one way or the other. All that being said, I am all the more committed to putting my energy into revival in the church and Jesus revolution in the society. I am all the more committed to not put my emotions, certainly not my finances, but not my emotions and my energies into the election. I believe it's important, but I don't believe it's important in terms of we have to get Romney in. Of course, some of you don't want to see him in because he's a Mormon. That's not my big issue. Have to get him in because of where things could go under Obama. We've got to get him in. Look, even if he is elected, and this time it looks like he well could be, I'm telling you again, my expectation is it's not going to make a profound difference in terms of the major issues we are discussing and dealing with, the pro-life issues, the pro-marriage issues. Maybe it would make a big difference with regard to Israel on some level. But all that being said, I'm not going to get all worked up and let my whole emotion and energy get caught up in who gets elected. Because either way, we've got to have revival in the church, and we've got to unite around that, friends. Rather than dividing over this and getting upset if I say something for or against one of the candidates or the president, what we need to do is get on our faces and search our own hearts. What we need to do is get on our faces and repent of our own sins. No, it's not either or. I understand it's not either or. I'm talking about where our focus needs to be, where our energies need to be. And I want to say this in particular to my white evangelical friends. I know this is something broader, but I want to say this in particular to my white evangelical friends. If Mr. Romney is elected, of course, we want to pray that God would get hold of him, bring him into true salvation in Jesus, and raise him up as a champion of righteousness, just as we pray for Mr. Obama to truly know the Lord and be a champion of righteousness if he gets reelected. But I just want to remind my white evangelical friends, if Mr. Romney gets in, it may not be as bad as things would have been under Mr. Obama, but it's certainly not what we need. What we need's got to come alone with God. And in church meetings where we wake up and live right, pastors, preachers, listening, come on, friends, let's get past compromise. Let's get past just some feel-good gospel message. Let's get past just trying to cater to people's sensibilities, and let's tell the truth without cost, without compromise. It's an urgent hour, and the awakening must begin with us. What do you think of that? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, phone lines are jammed. On the other side of the break, I'll be getting to your calls. Remember, friends, any of you that miss any of the broadcast or just get a half hour here or there, you can listen to it all online at askdrbrown.org by clicking on the Line of Fire. Now, can I just share something else with you, dead straight honest? Is that all right? I like to think, after being on the air now, daily radio, for 4.5 years, and many of the stations across the country now carry me the last year and a half plus, I like to think that you are not just listening because I tickle your ears, listening because it's just, oh, it's just like springtime and sunshine every day at Dr. Brown. He just makes me feel so good about myself. I trust that's not where you're listening. You're listening because you love the truth, and you love when we lay things out and put it on the line, and that's one of the reasons you listen. All the more was I so surprised yesterday. I poured my heart out. It was the last thing I did before leaving Israel late Tuesday night. Poured my heart out, pre-recorded a show, and put together an offer that I thought, this is a life-changing offer, and made it as attractive as we could. Two books in one. It's Time to Rock the Boat and Whatever Happened to the Power of God. I mean, these are wake-up, shake-up books for the serious. Books full of meat. Not just a cheapo, how to succeed and feel happy kind of book. And that, with the broadcast from yesterday, was $20 postage paid, and I was shocked by the low level of response, because I thought, this is really going to bless folks. When I got a note from our, as we do every day, just an update on how folks responded to things, just so we can know and be sensitive and see that we're meeting your needs. So take advantage of that today. 1-800-278-9978. Two books in one, plus the CD of yesterday's broadcast. Come on, this is meat for the serious. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. It's time, friends.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends. Yeah, I have great joy in doing live radio. We would do these long TV shoots, sometimes 10 hours from we'd leave the hotel to when we get back. And, you know, sitting times, recording time, different things. Just long because TV, you got a lot of setup and right locations and all of that. Get back, sometimes not have time to grab a meal, but could not wait to do radio. And just sitting here smiling at the joyful privilege of being on the air with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go right to the phones, starting with Jim in Bowie, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Mike.
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Yes. I was just listening to your story on the professor from Gallaudet, and one of the interesting pieces about the entire story, and I read it in an article, is that the way that her name was discovered to have been on the list, it's my understanding that the entire list of petitioners were published in a local paper called the Washington Blade.
Yep.
And to my way of thinking, that's even a greater transgression of our personal rights, that they would try to use their paper to intimidate people by publishing their names, because what other purpose would they have in publishing the names?
You're exactly right, sir. In fact, that's a very common tactic in Prop 8 a few years back in California, the marriage amendment there. Names of people were released who had signed to be on the ballot and things like that. And because you're not going to know who voted for it, but people who'd signed for it to be on the ballot or gave donations. I think one restaurant owner gave like $100. The next thing, he's getting harassed at the restaurant and threats there and all this. And you think, what is that? Whatever happened to tolerance and diversity? So, yeah, this is commonly used. Names will be gotten out, and so far people have not been able to fight and win in the courts, the cases I've followed, for their right to not have it released, to say, hey, I'm just casting a vote. It's one thing if you stick a sign on your front lawn, you're making a public statement, but to say, hey, I'm just signing a petition, to me it's outrageous that names get released. I mean, I'm fine, let the whole world know, but that's not fair for others, absolutely.
I agree. And again, the other issue, of course, is that the petition only says that it's letting the citizens of Maryland vote on the issue. It's not taking a position one way or the other. It's just saying let the citizens vote, voice their opinion through their vote as to how they feel about this entire legislation.
So, exactly right, Jim. And again, that's what was said in the press conference. It was about 20 minutes long, so I just played that one 20-second excerpt. But that's what was said then, that her vote was a vote for diversity, to say let us discuss this and vote on it and have proper interaction on it. Hey, Jim, thanks for weighing in. And the one thing we have to do is not back down. And I know that's your spirit, too.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just change subjects for a moment. Ruth in Detroit, Michigan. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I have a two-part question on the resurrection.
Yeah.
First of all, do you believe the resurrection is a bodily resurrection in flesh and blood?
Well, the future resurrection to which we look with great anticipation absolutely is a physical resurrection. Now, we will be given new bodies that are spiritual, meaning they will be literal, but different than our current bodies. And in that sense... they will be spiritual. But Paul makes clear in 1 Corinthians 15 that they will be just as real as you plant a seed in the ground. That's like our physical body. And then what comes out of it, say a plant or a tree, that's the resurrection body. So it will be just as real as our physical body, except of different content. The New Testament's quite plain on that.
So it's not the same flesh and blood that we have right now?
Well, no, because flesh and blood, just mere humanity, is not made to live for eternity. But it's not, I assume we're going to look the same. Now the question is, you know, what if someone's disfigured or this or that? Fair question. Tell you what, stay right there in case you have another question. We'll take it on the other side of the break.
Change the world.
of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Again, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. I'm broadcasting from a hidden location in the Courtyard Marriott Hotel outside of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We've got an outreach lecture tonight to be praying for the opening of hearts and minds of the lost sheep of the House of Israel, as well as for believers attending. 866-348-7884. I'm taking calls on any subject today because I didn't get to do that last Friday, Jewish-related as well, but I'm not focusing on Jewish-related issues as I normally do on Thoroughly Jewish Thursdays because we've been in Israel for over a week and covered that a lot over these days. And if you just tuned in, the main point I've wanted to make today is that our energy, our focus, our whole faith thrust should not be primarily in the election, although I believe it's a very important election, but where the real solution to America's problems lies, and that's with God's people, with us, that our great focus must be on spiritual, moral awakening, revival, and out of that, a Jesus revolution in the society. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just go back to Ruth in Detroit. Ruth, one other point about the resurrection, which does speak of bodies coming out of the graves, that Paul makes clear flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So normal humanity cannot inherit. And he says that we will all be changed. So the natural will put on supernatural, or the mortal will put on immortal, and we will be changed in a moment of time, either caught up to meet the Lord or resurrected from the dead when Jesus returns, and uh-huh. we will receive what Scripture refers to as a glorious body that would be like the Lord's.
Uh-huh. The second part of my question is in regards to the terminology. For instance, Philippians 3:10, Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his anastasis, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes, you are. Uh-huh.
And then the next verse, Philippians 3:11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the ek anastasis. And my question is, since I'm not a Greek scholar, what would be the difference between those two words, why he would change from one verse to the next? I mean, one word to the next.
All clear. So anastasis, the resurrection, and then the second, is he talking about the out resurrection? That's a matter of dispute even among Greek scholars. Some just look at it as stylistic differences, just like when I write an article in English, I might switch between different words that say the same thing just for stylistic purposes.
Uh-huh.
Some think of it like that. Some think that in the first case, he's just referring to the resurrection of Jesus, which is clear, wanting to know the power of his resurrection.
Right.
And then looking
uh-huh.
forward to our future resurrection, referring to it as an out resurrection because we'll be called out from this world or out from the graves. There are some, though, who claim that he's talking about a specific type of resurrection,
uh-huh.
that Jesus will come for his bride, meaning only the specially beloved ones within the body who are living right and will be resurrected first or called out first, and then afterwards the rest of the church, which may not be living right. But I don't see any scriptural evidence for that difference. So it's actually an interesting question, and one that I think just keep reading and looking at commentaries on.
And you know, just his terminology also, and if by any means makes it sound like maybe. You know, I mean, we know that all Christians are going to be resurrected, but it sounds as though there's a question here in his mind, if by any means I might attain unto the ek anastasis of the dead. And I think that's where, you know, it kind of makes you stop and think, well, now, wait a minute, is this different?
Yeah, and the question is, here's the challenge. The word occurs just once in the New Testament, and that's here.
Exactly,
Philippians 3:11. And therefore, it's something you have to study. In other words, I cannot make a dogmatic statement on why Paul used it, but I fully agree that what he's talking about, because he has full hope of his future resurrection. He knows he's a believer in right relationship with the Lord. He's already said earlier that he wants to depart and be with Jesus, so he knows that.
Right.
And therefore, he would be assured of future resurrection. So is there something different? Or especially he's talking about, it could be, and you make all the right points, Ruth. The problem is we just don't have more information, And I don't see more evidence elsewhere in Scripture of some special kind of resurrection. But tell you what, you know what happens? One way I've learned over the years is when I'm not satisfied with an answer, I study more. Now, it doesn't mean I get an answer. But if one of these days I'm convinced that I know exactly why he used those terms, I will bring it up on the air, and hopefully you'll be able to follow it. Hey, got to run, but thanks for the call, Ruth.
Okay.
God bless you. Hey, look, maybe you'd like me to be more dogmatic, but these are excellent questions, and she was hitting on the right points. Okay, back to the election issues. Let's start with Mary in Jersey City, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
Sure.
You know, I just want to say, first of all, I really appreciate the fact that you're willing to take calls from people who have opposing views. You know, there are a lot of radio hosts that screen the calls and don't want to hear anything that disagrees with them. So I really appreciate the fact that you're different in that respect. I did have a question with respect to your views on the election, because you seem to be thinking that even though the Bible says that we shouldn't put someone, elect someone to office who has a different view, a different belief system than we do, even though Romney is not, you know, Mormons don't seem to be Christians in the sense they don't believe in Christianity in the same way, the Bible says clearly, don't elect someone to office who's of a different view. And the New Testament also says, don't be yoked with unbelievers. So it seems to me that when we substitute that directive from God and say, well, if the person believes in abortion, we'll elect them anyway, we're doing what King Saul did in 1 Samuel 15 when God rejected him as king, because he said, kill everything that relates to the Amalekites. And Saul said, well, the men just wanted to sacrifice some animals to God. I mean, aren't we doing exactly what Saul did when we sort of, the fact is, homosexuality has remained the same throughout all administrations. Dick Cheney's daughter was a lesbian.
Just to interact, and of course, I'm glad to take calls from others, and of course, some other shows do, some may not as much, but that's part of the beauty of live talk radio. In fact, although I try to give everyone a fair shake and just bring on people based on how long they've been on hold and follow that, if someone does have a dissenting view, I will try to get to them first and earlier. But I just want to say a couple things. Somehow your specific accent way of speech sticks in my head, so I'm almost sure that you called previously and went through Scripture, Deuteronomy 17 or other verses, that would back up your point about not having a Mormon leader. If it's someone else I'm confusing it with, fine. But anyway, here's where I differ with your point. Things have gotten much, much more extreme in our country with regard to homosexual activism under Mr. Obama. I mean, it's night and day, and there's been also a real assault on religious freedoms, which is why Hobby Lobby is suing Obamacare and Catholic hospitals have. So it's all out. It's been a massive ugly decline, and it has been a massive attack on public opinion as well when the president, with all of his influence, comes out and says what he says. So he's clearly an unbeliever and clearly needs to know Jesus. It's more clear to me that he needs to know Jesus than Mitt Romney does, because I have no clue what Mitt Romney actually believes and how Mormon he is. But I just don't see anything in Scripture that talks about electing someone to office. I see in Israel that was a theocracy ruled by God, and he said you can do this and don't do this. I see in terms of relationships, 2 Corinthians 6:14 and following, about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers, but I don't see anything in the Bible that talks about in a democratic country electing someone to be the leader, nor do I see anything in our Constitution that would indicate that the person would have to hold born-again Christian beliefs. And in fact, one of our early leaders, like Thomas Jefferson, clearly didn't, at least while president. So, I differ on that. But here's the bottom line. I'm very unenthusiastic about Mr. Romney. I can't vote for Obama. I'm very unenthusiastic about Mitt Romney. But my efforts, my energy, are going to go in one direction as much as possible. And that's to get us crying out to God, seeking God, repenting of our own sin, and bringing what needs to come. But Mary, you're always welcome to call and differ, or call and agree. But thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. Anjali in Manassas, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am very much in agreement with you about praying for revival and focusing our attention on getting together in prayer and really pray for revival. Pray for both candidates that their eyes will be open to the Lord. And I am going to vote for Mitt Romney for the mere fact of Obama has been in office for 4 years. He's proven the direction where he wants to take this country, and this is not the direction I feel as a Christian we should be going into. I believe that there are blessings and curses behind every decision, and I believe God lays the mantle upon people to make a decision who their leader would be, and I believe we will go into great persecution as Christians if Obama is reelected.
All right. Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, Angeli, I don't know if you're still listening to the broadcast. If not, maybe one of Angeli's friends is listening. But greatly appreciated the timing of your comments. I didn't want to cut you off. I knew our time was short. The music was playing. You're making some great comments, and you came to your conclusion right when we had about 2 seconds to go. So nicely done. Maybe you've got a career in radio. 866-348-7884. Tom in Wall Township, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. How are you, sir?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to give my opinion on the election. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, I've been very disappointed to hear the amount of Christians calling in saying they're not voting for Romney, they're not voting for Obama, and they're discouraged with it. I'm discouraged with both candidates. But when I look at both candidates, I want the candidate, in my opinion, that's going to benefit the gospel the most. I mean, that the gospel will have free course. And under the Obama administration, I see nothing but persecution coming to Christians. And I agree with what you've been saying regarding, the health care law. I mean, he had no regard for religious freedom, the First Amendment to the Constitution. He seems to have no regard for the Constitution either. He wants to make his own laws. And I think we are going to do a great hurt to ourselves that we do not get out and vote against this man and get somebody in there that's going to uphold that Constitution.
Yeah, and, you know, Tom, there's also the Mormon element that looks at the Constitution as almost a divine document, given the strange Mormon beliefs about American history. But I don't doubt anything you're saying. I just know that our tendency as Americans is to get all worked up. Look, I follow things closely, part of what I just do in general and then part of what I do as a radio host. I follow things closely, and I'm looking at all the polls and all the news and all these things in detail, and yes, in terms of my sentiments as I'm watching these things, I would like to see Mr. Romney elected versus Mr. Obama, but I constantly remind myself that ultimately this is very, very secondary, especially this election. It's very, very secondary to the larger issues, which have to do with us and God and the state that America's in, the state it's in. So I've often said that the greatest problem is not so much the presence of darkness, it's the absence of light. It's the backslidden, compromised state of the church and so many pastors and leaders in America not really preaching the truth of the gospel. So we're together on that. And I think if you've got folks dropping out on both sides, that kind of cancels itself out anyway, if they're not going to vote for either candidate. But I would just encourage you in the midst of it not to get too frustrated. And again, I'm not arguing with anything you're saying. It's just we you get so caught up, and then you get so upset with media reporting and bias. And it's like, okay, let's get our emotions back in order and then put our whole focus and energy on King Jesus and real revival, real awakening. Because when it really happens, the church is going to be more shaken than we could ever imagine.
And I fully believe, that God, I'm a staunch Calvinist. I mean, I know that I believe that God's going to build his church under any circumstance. But I'm not going to, even even if it were persecution upon the church, that would bring about revival, then let's have it. But I'm not going to vote that in. What I'm saying.
Fully understood, right. The best thing that could happen could be the worst election results and persecution and loss of religious freedoms, that could be the very thing that wakes us up. I fully agree with you, but we're not going to vote it in willingly. Yep, we're in sync. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, phone lines are jammed, but keep trying to get through because I'm going to be taking calls for the entire next hour. So don't go anywhere. I'll get to your calls. And just one more Israel-related perspective as I just returned from the trip yesterday. Left my hotel 7 in the morning, got to my hotel in Florida where I'm doing an outreach tonight at midnight. So it was 23 hours of travel from my hotel here, but got in good shape, had a good night's rest, even got a workout in and focused, ready for tonight. So thank you those who prayed and stood with me. But just one more perspective from Israel. When you look at the reality, when you look at the degree of hostility towards Israel and the Jewish people, when you look at the fact that Israel is surrounded by hostile nations, some of whom want to wipe them out, and that every day, if not for massive security efforts by Israel, there would be Jews dying by the hundreds, if not thousands. You just have to remember how utterly skewed it is when Israel becomes the evil occupier. And those who've been taken in by the narrative of Palestinian Christians, I mean, taken in terms of not that they don't count and they don't matter, but taken in as if they're somehow a majority. The fact is their greatest issue, whether they'll admit publicly to it or not, is not Israel, it's radical Islam. That's ultimately their greatest issue. So we need to pray for God's mercy for Palestinian believers and for strength for them and grace, that none of them would buy into a victim mentality, that they would be strong in the Lord and that Americans in the West would stand with them accordingly, and that we would not buy into the myth that Israel is the evil Goliath in the region practicing apartheid. And so, you know, the more I talk to people on the street and just the ground reality of life in Israel, it can be frustrating in the natural, but ultimately God will back the truth. All right, let me reiterate again that I believe you, my dear listening audience, you are not just fluff believers. You are not just people who listen to get your ears tickled. This is not pep talk Christianity. You like the truth here and you like me to tell the truth. I'm strongly urging you to take advantage of our special offer. My CD from yesterday's broadcast, which was an urgent call to stand that I was stirred by as I shared before leaving Israel. And I believe you'll be stirred as you listen. That with my two books, It's Time to Rock the Boat, a call to God's people to rise up and preach a confrontational gospel. And whatever happened to the power of God, these are some of the most penetrating, important, and highly relevant books I've ever read. They're meat for the hungry and the serious. The two books in one plus the CD at the reduced price of $20, postage paid anywhere in the United States. Call to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the online bookstore. You can order there very easily. You'll see the special offer comes right up. Or call 1-800-278-9978. And if you can stand with us and help us underwrite the outreaches we do, help us underwrite our ministry to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, help us get onto more and more stations across America, help us be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. If you believe in what we're doing, become a torchbearer if you can, a monthly supporter or one-time gift, or simply supplement your order with a gift, and it will help us immensely. So again, that number to call, 1-800-278-9978, or you can visit the website, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, the world is getting totally worked up by the elections. America is getting more and more divided by the day over the elections. Let that not be the case with us. Let us give ourselves to unity in Jesus and unstinting prayer and repentance at the throne of God for revival in the church and Jesus' revolution in the society. I am just back from Israel with a really important perspective for every Republican, Democrat, Independent, and non-voter listening to me today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thank you for praying for me, standing with me in Israel, 23 hours from hotel in Tel Aviv to hotel in Florida last night. Good night's sleep, ready to go today. And because we've had such a focus on Israel and Jewish issues over the last week, I'm opening the phones to anything you want to talk to me about today, as we normally do on Friday. We're doing that today, 866-348-7884. My focus, though, today has to do with the state of the body. My focus today has to do with the state of our mentality here in America. As, look, it's just natural to get your blood boiling as we get closer to the elections. And if you support one candidate or not the other, your blood's going to be boiling all the more. Or if you're upset with media, either way, your blood's going to be boiling all the more. Or, you know, we could all be sitting in a room together and a political ad comes on TV and my blood's boiling and you're like, yeah, that's it, that's right. And then it's followed by another ad and your blood's boiling and I'm saying, yeah, that's right. What we need to do as followers of Jesus is step higher. Not to say the election is not important, but to say what really, really matters beyond which candidate is elected is the state of the body. And that's what is going to determine the direction of America. 866-348-7884. I'll share more with you on that. A number of other things I want to share with you as well. We'll get to. Go over to townhall.com and read my latest article, Chris Matthews, Abortion and Sharia Law, Hysteria. Oh, don't want to miss that article. Let me go straight to the phones. Jason in Miami, Florida. How far is Miami from where I am today? I'm right outside of Fort Lauderdale.
You're only about an hour and a half. So, okay.
All right. Yeah, we got this outreach lecture that I'm doing tonight, and then fly back tomorrow. Yeah. So, what's on your mind, Jason?
My question has to do with Jewish capital law in the Old Testament or capital punishment. I've been conversing with some Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm thinking of using John 8:58. Jesus says, you know, verily I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, and the Jews pick up stones. Now, what were the reasons for the capital punishment? Is basically, is there a verse in the Old Testament that, you know, condemns equating yourself with God, and that would be use of the capital punishment?
There were certain, at that time, there were certain blasphemy laws, and in Judaism, and what Jesus was saying there would have been equated with some type of blasphemy, because the Jehovah's Witness translation, which is not even a translation from the original Greek or Hebrew, the New World Translation, at least unless they came up with something more recent, you know, that's one of the poorest translations I'd ever seen, and it tries to get away from what the reality is there in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And there's no question whatsoever that he is making a very definite statement about his eternal pre-existence and his predating Abraham. And there was a grammatical discussion in Jehovah's Witness literature when I was interacting with them more many years ago that called the Greek there the present indefinite tense. And Jason, not only was it as simple as I am in English, ego eimi in Greek, just that simple, but those words, which would have originally been spoken in Hebrew Aramaic, all the more would have associated him directly with Yahweh. So based on laws against blasphemy in Scripture, you know, reviling God, Judaism developed further laws that said that various crimes would be considered blasphemous, and this obviously fit in that category. No such thing as present indefinite tense. He was saying before Abraham was, I am, and associating himself with Yahweh. Thanks, Jason.
It's fire we want, for fire we please. Stand in the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being with me today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted, pleased, blessed to have this opportunity to stand with you and urging you not to divide with other believers over the coming election. You've heard my very, very plain views about where I stand on these subjects in the past and where I would vote and not vote, or who I would vote for and who I'd not vote for and why. But I want to urge you that the greater issue that deserves attention, the greater issue that deserves our energy, our focus, our finances, is the awakening of the body, the awakening of the church, God's people living like God's people. If we do that, regardless of who's in office, America will be shaken. Do I believe the election is important? Yes. Do I have strong views? Yes. But I want to repeat, as I said in the last hour, if Mr. Obama is reelected, I believe it would bring us in disastrous directions in many ways. Perhaps that's what we need before we wake up. But I could not possibly vote from a good conscience. I could vote for Mr. Romney, but with concern and with the confidence that if he was elected, he'd kind of steer a course in the middle and not really stand strong on some of the other controversial issues. Now, I'd like to be wrong about both of them. But this much I know for sure, my energies, my effort, the passion of my heart is not going to go towards the election, although I will be involved. I will vote. The passion of my heart, my energies will go towards revival in the church and Jesus' revolution in society. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Anne in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. This is Anne Lutzi. I have to agree with everything you have just said, Michael, and I definitely will vote for Romney. The man has respect and honor for God. He has a family he loves. And I'm reminded of the scriptures when Balaam was paid to go and curse God's people, and God had a jackass speak to him to check the madness of the prophet. Now, if a God Almighty can speak through an animal, a dumb animal that was innocent in that whole scheme, he can surely speak through Romney. And as we humble ourselves and pick up our cross and follow the living God, just like you said, then God will do miracles for us, you know, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all those that dwell in it. People have made such a big to-do and hullabaloo about, oh, vote here and do this. You know what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will lift you up. Get on your face, like you say, and I say that too. We lived in Damascus for 8 years, and I saw all kinds of things there, but I did see one thing. When an Arab turns to become a Christian, they will lay down their lives. And I'm reminded also of the scripture when Ishmael and Isaac got together and their father died. What did they do? They came together in mutual respect and forgiveness and buried their father together. And I believe that this is a sign for us who know the Bible that God will supernaturally bring these two warring relatives, blood relatives, together.
Yeah, and the thing, just to jump in on one key thing that you said, yeah, that's okay. The key thing, though, to jump in on, when you mentioned living in Damascus,
yes,
and how when a Muslim really comes to faith, they're willing to lay their lives down, they realize the cost. They know it could cost them their life to follow Jesus. When we baptize people in India, the brother with me, Yesu Padam, we'll ask these Indians getting baptized, are you willing to follow Jesus with your last drop of blood, by life or by death? Because he knows and they know what it could cost them. We defeat ourselves when we try to make it easier and easier and cheaper and cheaper to follow Jesus. And it's just kind of like, hey, just get an eternal insurance policy, get rid of your guilt, get rid of your sins, and then just have a happy life. And then when it comes to take up the cross or follow Jesus or go against the grain or make a sacrifice or...
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what? That the Christian people in America, the body of Christ, they've had it too good, too long, and they've had too much material.
Yeah, and that has been the greater danger to us than persecution. So thank you for weighing in, especially the perspective from Damascus. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Joe on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thanks.
How's it going? Great. I just want to make a comment about something you said about, I know you're on the right side. I agree with everything you say with respect to the Bible and voting Jesus, and Romney is definitely the lesser of the evils for sure. One being he supports pro-life and traditional marriage, which I think two key components that are of great importance.
And of course, just to jump in, yeah, two things, and I'll get right back to you.
Can I add one thing? Because my phone might die. The reason why I called mainly was that you had made a comment about the white evangelical things. I know you meant no harm by it, but it's not only the white evangelical community. I mean, E.W. Jackson and a lot of other groups are standing up and denouncing and rebuking Obama because of his, nonsense.
Joe, just explain the dynamic there. Number one, they are speaking to black believers because black believers have so heavily voted for Democrats and for Mr. Obama,
right,
and they're categorically calling them not to. Now, they're not necessarily endorsing Romney, though. What I'm doing is saying to white evangelicals who normally, the larger proportion, vote Republican, that we don't want to put our hope in who is elected. So my big emphasis, Joe, is not on Mr. Romney being elected. My big emphasis is on where it needs to be, revival, awakening in the church.
Oh, yeah, of course. I agree with that. I mean, Jesus first and everything, but we definitely need to, if you don't vote for Romney because you say you're not going to vote because he's a Mormon, this and that, then what happens is you're giving a vote away to perhaps someone that's an Antichrist spirit.
Yeah, but, Joe, what's interesting, though, Joe, just to say this, there are those who question Mitt Romney's past record on marriage and pro-life, and I think those are fair, important questions. I even had someone on who spent a whole hour questioning those things, Bob Enyart, a couple of weeks ago. But I still think it's important to remember that there are many black Christians who voted for Obama last time, and they won't vote for him this time, but they're not voting for Romney either. So that's actually not a vote for Mr. Obama. That's something that just...
I don't think Mr. Obama is a Democrat either. I think he's a Marxist. I suggest everyone to watch the movie 2016 Obama, and you'll see out of his book how he clearly is. And also, he indicates when the winds of political change go against the Muslims, he'll be standing by their side.
That could all be totally true. That could be 100% true. I haven't seen the movie yet, but it could be 100% true. I still stand by where my emphasis is and where it will remain. But thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Our dear friend Sarah in Brooklyn, how nice to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm still pinching myself of the miracle. I'm two months and 18 days old. So,
wow.
As of
amazing.
July 31st. But, dear Pastor Michael Brown, words cannot express, I know you're very humble and modest, the genius, the prophetic thinking that you do. And my question is, not what opinion, but deep into the very deep part of your prophetic wisdom, your panemius, what Hashem runs the whole, God runs the whole world, and what is his plan? Now, I do have to just, and then I'll stop talking, because I figured, to me, it came an insight that the reason Obama came in, this is the first time in my 88 years that there has been such an arousal of response and consciousness and waking up in America. So perhaps that was Hashem's plan. But what is his plan? You'll say you don't want to influence, but in your brilliance and prophetic panemius, what can you possibly say something about that?
Sure. Well, Sarah, first, thanks for your very kind words. And for those who have not gotten to know you yet, Sarah's, when she turned 88 at the end of July of this year, as an Orthodox Jewish woman, Jesus was knocking at her door. She said, still pinching herself. So, Sarah, it's always a joy to hear your voice, and we're so glad to see you moving forward with the Lord. I have prayed and thought about this, and I feel that what is clear now is that for the first time in a while, even more so than our last election, we cannot fully throw ourselves behind a candidate. People were somewhat tepid about John McCain, the evangelical camp, but probably felt better about him than Mitt Romney, but they were still somewhat tepid on where he was coming from. They were against Mr. Obama. There was more support for George Bush, but how strongly would he lead as an evangelical? Bottom line is, though, that I see clearly that this is the election where we realize that the candidate is not our answer, where we realize that, as I've been saying through the show, we must see awakening in the body, that more and more people who profess to know Jesus would really awaken to what it means to follow him. So what I see happening is with either candidate, we recognize we do not have the solution in the White House. We need to get on our faces and seek God. At best, we'll get a Band-Aid solution. Hey, may God continue to pour his grace on you, Sarah.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In the next segment, I've got a bunch of things I want to share with you, an audio clip I want to play for you. Right now, I want to get right back to your calls, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Had a wonderful time in Israel. I believe we recorded some very important TV shows that will air on the Day of Discovery. Some other important developments took place while there as well. Traveled 23 hours from hotel to hotel in Israel to Florida last night by way of Newark, getting ready for an outreach lecture. If you're anywhere near greater Fort Lauderdale area, that's just where I flew in last night. Join me tonight, 7 p.m. If you've got to drive an hour or two, I think it'll be worth it. 7 p.m., Anti-Semitism, Who is the Real Enemy? At Diamante's Event Center, that's 6501 West Commercial Boulevard in Tamara, Florida. If you missed that, just go to AskDrBrown.org, go to my website, and you'll find it right on the bottom of the homepage. My emphasis talking about the elections is not to get into a discussion about the candidates primarily, but to get into a discussion about where our primary energies need to be. You know, it's almost like this. You see a car wreck on the side of the road, and it's someone you know that's involved with it, and there are a million things to do. You call 911. Has 911 been called? Can someone be helped out of the vehicle? Okay, this one needs immediate attention. All right, baby's crying in the backseat, but baby's okay. Someone needs to hold the baby. You have to prioritize things. And yeah, it's important that you hold the baby because the baby's crying, but it's much more important that you call 911 to get an ambulance there, or that you help someone that needs to be pulled out of the car because the car is going to go on fire. You have to prioritize. I'm saying our priorities need to be spiritual awakening. Our priorities need to be repentance in the church and awakening throughout the society more than all of our energies and efforts and a frenzied passion of all of the above energies, efforts, emotions into the elections. We need to put first things first. The election is very important, and there are implications for our country for years to come. However, the state of the body is more important. 866-348-7884. Reverend Simpson in Teaneck, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Praise the Lord. I have been waiting for a very long time listening to you, Dr. Brown. And how are you, sir? Just came back from the Holy Land.
Doing very well. Thank you.
Yes, I've been there. First of all, I want to say Israel do not need us to weep for them. And I just want you to listen me out for a little while, because I love Israel. I've never prayed morning or evening or noon, and do not ask the Lord to bless Israel, because he said that in the scriptures. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Mm.
When I think of 2 Chronicles 20,
yes,
there were four nations, and you know all this. I'm not teaching, I'm just reminding us.
Sure.
Those four nations came against Israel, and Israel had nothing to do more than pray and sing, for his mercies endureth forever. We don't have to fight for Israel. We don't have to do anything but pray for Israel. And regardless whether they want to divide land or not, it will not be. That I know. Another thing, the election. So many of our ministers, and I spoke to one last week, and I just want to say I mentioned your name. You're saying you're not involved in this. But, sir, if more time was spent by our ministers proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it be homosexual or whatever it is, we would have a better America. Number two, I am a military mother. My son is in NATO for 29 years. He's still active in Germany. I have one son who came back. He's right here now with me in Teaneck. He is. He had a breakdown in the military, but I still do not fight against the military because this is what happened. I have a son who has, as far as I know now, is in homosexuality. I can't hate them. One thing, another thing I want to say, if we were living in the days of David when he committed adultery, I think we would have killed him as Nathan behaved himself in the first half. President Obama is your son and my son. I know he is not what we all want him to be. We're supposed to pray for him. Mm-hmm. A cult is a cult, regardless how you take it. And talk to me about it, and I will talk with you, because we both are intellectuals concerning the theology and Christianity. We know that a cult as it would be of any other idol-worshipping god. Therefore, let us pray for the men that God will choose the right person. As far as it is, I am a retired New York Board of Education member. Mm-hmm. Sir, I work and serve my country. My family does. Right now, for my husband who's sick, I don't really go to the doctor.
Hey, hang on. Just gotta jump in 1 second. Thanks. You had a lot to say, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to say as much as possible. And thank you for praying so faithfully for Israel through these years. And Isaiah 62, folks, if you haven't read it in a while, read Isaiah 62, first 8 through 10 verses. I think will stir your heart, the importance of prayer for Israel, the importance of prayer for God's purposes for Israel. But I want to just underscore one thing you spoke. You said it so well, I don't need to repeat everything. The one thing I want to reemphasize is if pastors and leaders and ministers of the gospel would just preach the truth and not water things down and not try to make it palatable and not try to bypass the cross, if we would just preach the truth and let the chips fall on the mate with love, with compassion, with sensitivity, with wisdom, if we would just do that, America would look like a totally different place. I agree with you. God bless you, Reverend Simpson. Thank you for the call. All right, stay with me. I will get your calls on the other side of the break. I want to play an important audio clip for you. And tomorrow, as always, you've got questions. We've got answers. We'll be doing that. So yesterday's special offer, I cannot underscore the importance of it. If you want meat, listen, if you want lightweight stuff, this is not for you. If you just want something that's going to tickle your ears, this is not for you. If you want stuff that'll stir you and encourage you and challenge you and inspire you, yesterday's offer is just that. Two books in one. It's Time to Rock the Boat. Oh, yeah, if ever this was relevant, it is today. My two books, It's Time to Rock the Boat and Whatever Happened to the Power of God. These books will perhaps remain with you for the rest of your life. Those plus the CD of yesterday's radio show, An Urgent Call to Take a Stand, $20, plus we'll pay the postage for all of that. So it's a great deal, but more importantly, life-changing stuff. So call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online. AskDrBrown.org, right on the online bookstore. Just click there and you'll see the special resource offer come up. Or 1-800-278-9978. If you can help us with an additional gift, that would be awesome. We would really appreciate it. Friends, I'm not saying the election is unimportant. I'm not saying who gets in for president is unimportant. What I'm saying is the real importance, the real emphasis, the real thrust must be put on us to go after God and to search our own hearts and lives and to determine, Lord, here I am. Send me, use me, and make me fully usable.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is a joy to be back in the States. It was a joy to be in Israel. Got up from my hotel 7 o'clock yesterday morning. That's when I left the hotel. Arrived at my hotel in Florida at midnight. And, you know, as a result of flights getting delayed out of Israel into Newark, having to catch a later flight, I've been getting in my cardio at the airport. I tell you, I'm glad I'm working out a lot because I've been moving quick at the airport to get to flights and 23 hours from hotel to hotel. But I tell you, I'm blessed, refreshed, alive and well, enjoying the Lord. Thrilled to be on the air with you. And the number to call is 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. If I have a chance, I'm going to read a few excerpts from my latest article on Town Hall, which is also published on our Voice of Revolution website. It is Chris Matthews, Abortions and Sharia Law Hysteria. Ooh, if I don't have time to read it on the air, be sure you read it when you have an opportunity. But my burden, my focus today is with the elections coming up. Well, it's October 18th, so it's 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks away. The country's going to get more divided. Passions are going to get stirred more and more and more. You're going to find your blood boiling one way or the other. And I want to encourage you to take that passion, to take that energy, to take that emotion and turn it towards awakening in your own life and prayer for revival in the Church of America. Because regardless of who is elected, yes, I believe if Mr. Obama's in, we will descend more rapidly in many negative ways. I believe if Mr. Romney's elected, that will moderate in certain ways, and perhaps some of the dissent will be stopped, but it's not going to bring about the change we need or desire. And I want to urge you, and I want to put my energies in the right place, not to downplay the election, but to say what really matters. 866-34-TRUTH. I know it's Thursday, which is normally Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, but we've been having a lot of Jewish emphasis days in Israel, so I'm just opening things up more broadly today. Okay, if you heard yesterday's broadcast, I started by talking about Dr. Angela McCaskill, a black woman, deaf, who is the chief diversity officer at Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C. She was placed on administrative leave after another faculty member, apparently lesbian, if I understood correctly, in the press conference, saw that she had signed a petition calling for a vote on whether marriage should be redefined, labeled as anti-gay, placed on administrative leave. Well, she is fighting back. And there was a news conference, what's today, Thursday? Perhaps it was Tuesday already, but I just read about it yesterday. And she's got her lawyer, and lawyer says, I don't know where she stands on gay issues. She's not anti-gay. I don't know where she stands on same-sex marriage, but she absolutely is standing for her right to express her views and to sign a petition and to call for discussion and vote. And it's very poignant when you watch the news conference. When she gets up to speak, she's deaf. So she's giving her presentation in sign language. And this is what she had to say through the sign language interpreter.
I'm dismayed that Gallaudet University is still a university of intolerance. A university that manages by intimidation. A university that allows bullying among faculty, staff, and students.
Yes, good for her. Good for her revealing the extreme intolerance of the so-called tolerant ones. First, if she's the chief diversity officer, doesn't that mean that the views of conservative Christians or Muslims or Jews or others should be taken into account? Does diversity only go one way? Well, when it's gay activist diversity, you bet. It goes one way, my way or the highway. Intolerance is what tolerance ends up working out to be, and inclusion ends up being exclusion. But the idea that just because you sign a petition saying let's have a vote on marriage, and I believe we need to vote, placed on administrative leave, good for Dr. McCaskill. Yeah, go ahead. Let's attack a deaf woman, a deaf black woman. Oh, yeah, let's attack her next. Good luck.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Coming your way live from a hidden location in a Courtyard Marriott Hotel outside of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Don't want to talk too loud lest we get our location found out. Okay, just messing with you about not talking too loud, but yes, we are in a hidden location in a Courtyard Marriott outside of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Broadcasting live then, God willing, after the outreach lecture tonight in Tamarra, Florida. Just go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, scroll down for the itinerary for tonight. After that, get up early tomorrow morning, fly home, and start our missions conference. Come your way live from, well, right outside of Charlotte, hidden location, right outside of Charlotte. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I get back to your calls and to further comments about the elections, just another quick note coming back from Israel. I was talking to a woman, older woman. She and her husband made Aliyah, meaning became citizens of Israel, just within the last 7-8 years. She said we're kind of late-blooming Zionists. And we talked about lots of things. We talked about the community where she lives, and there are a lot of Bedouin. So these are Arab tent dwellers that have lived the same for many, many years. I mean, certain things have changed, but very interesting society and supported in certain ways by the state, you know, getting welfare checks and so on. And anyway, we were just talking about the difficulties of doing things in Israel. Everything is a challenge. Everything is an issue. It's just not easy to do anything. You build a house, you put a new phone in, you get insurance, whatever. Everything just has challenges. And I was saying, yeah, you buy a car, isn't the tax 117%? She said, oh, yeah, instantly doubled. She said, but somebody's got to pay for the defense. In other words, just to live in Israel is going to cost you much more because Israel is forced to pay so much for military buildup. It would rather not. Interesting thing, another interesting perspective this woman had, she said when she's in Israel, in America, she comes back to America originally from Oregon and lived, was flying back to Boston now, lived for some years in Oregon. She said she feels so unsafe. You go into a mall and they're not inspecting all your stuff. You know, she walks down the street and thinks someone could steal this, someone could do that. Whereas in Israel, there's much more alertness about all those things because of the constant terror threat. Just found that interesting. All right, to your calls about my comments and perspective regarding the election, starting with Jay in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Jay out of Raleigh. And to be honest with you, you know, I'm listening to what you're talking about. You're talking about a lesser evil here. And the lesser evil, my thing...
Well, I haven't, Jay, I haven't used that term at all. I haven't spoken about lesser between two evils. Other callers have, but I haven't brought that up at all.
Okay. All right. I may be different. All right. So let's look at this right here.
Oh, Jay, hang on. Jay, hang on. There's nothing to differ with. I have not used that term. Callers have. I haven't. There's nothing to differ over. I haven't. Callers have. I haven't.
Okay. Well, I'm using the term. That's the evil.
Go for it.
Okay. I heard someone else talking about. This is my thing right here. This is my whole platform. Mitt Romney has been a devout Muslim since how long? I mean, how many years? So there's no turning him, persuading him to Christianity. Okay.
A devout Mormon, you mean? You said Muslim. You mean Mormon?
It's my Mormon.
Okay.
And I know a little about Mormonism. I know that they believe that God used to be a man just like I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the true God. I know that he's a being that's been here since the beginning of infinity. So,
yes, sir.
You know, for me to go out and cast my vote for a man who believed that God used to be a man, and now that this same God is on another planet with spirit women making spirit babies, how can I, in my right conscience, my right mind, now to vote for him and put him in, and let him lead my country and lead me?
Okay. Yeah, I've got no argument with that. As long as you don't vote for someone who uses the Bible, like President Obama does, to say that he supports a man marrying a man based on the Bible, or who supports baby killing, As long as you don't vote for Mr. Okay. Obama, I got no problem with someone not voting for Mitt Romney. No issue with that at all.
Okay, but you don't understand who you're going to vote for.
I might vote for Mitt Romney. I will certainly not vote. Here, Jay, I certainly will not vote for someone who advocates the killing of the unborn. I will certainly not vote for someone who wants to redefine marriage. I cannot vote for Barack Obama. I might vote for Mitt Romney because I'm voting for him on political issues. But my whole emphasis, Jay, my whole emphasis, Jay, is that my hope is not in either candidate. So are you telling me that you're going to vote for someone who advocates the killing of babies in the womb?
He's not perfect, but he does do it.
Whoa, Jay, you're going to vote for someone who calls for the killing of babies in the womb? God hates that.
Hey, how long has abortion been in place? Come on, man.
Jay, I just want to be straight with you, man. You're being a complete hypocrite, buddy. I want to be totally straight with you. You're being a hypocrite. You're attacking... Jay, I just want to be straight with you. I don't normally talk this straight, but because you're attacking me this way, you're being a complete hypocrite over this, buddy. If you told me you're sitting out the election, I got no issue with that. If you told me you're voting for a third-party candidate, I've got no issue. But if you're going to attack Mitt Romney's Mormonism and then justify voting for Barack Obama and say he's not perfect, that is flat-out hypocritical, buddy.
Okay, this is the point I'm trying to make here. Okay, now you know every president before Barack Obama has not done anything to get rid of abortion. But so, and we all voted. We've all voted for him, regardless. We've all voted for him. So,
I didn't vote. I've never voted for a pro-abortion president in my life. Never have. Never will.
You know what? Those presidents, they didn't get in the White House and try to get rid of it. The ones that you did vote for, maybe because they don't stand for it or mention it when they're running on their platform, it don't mean they don't stand for it. A man will say anything to win a vote.
So Jay, what are you saying then? I agree. That's what my whole argument is. The church has to bring about the change. But to vote for someone who says, based on the Bible, he's now going to redefine marriage. Okay, it's one thing if you say, look, Jay, there's zero basis possible for a follower of Jesus, in my view, to compromise in these views and vote for Barack Obama. The fact is he has pushed for the things that are now taking away religious liberties and forcing Christian companies to violate their conscience. No president has ever done that. And the next president could appoint Supreme Court justices who could vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. So it is important. But I've got, Jay, I want to say again, I have zero argument with you if you can't vote for Mitt Romney. I'm not a Romney supporter.
Now you say Barack Obama himself could have a change of heart and appoint.
So could Mitt Romney. But I have to base things on who they are and what they're here. The Democratic platform, and Mr. Obama has made himself 100% clear. And if you vote for him, you are saying amen. I just want to say this, Jay, because I got a bunch of other calls. I've tried to take some extra time with you. If you vote for Barack Obama, you are saying amen to slaughtering babies in the womb, amen to redefining marriage, amen for the assault on religious freedoms and of conscience with the new healthcare mandate.
One word, Daniel, you got to go. How can you, in your right mind, vote for a man who don't believe in the same God that you believe in?
Because I'm not voting for him to be a pastor or a spiritual leader, Jay. I'm voting for him as a political leader. My big issues with me, look, I don't know how many of our last 10 presidents have been genuine followers of Jesus. But Jay, if I vote for Romney, it's with very little enthusiasm. The whole purpose of my show, and I appreciate your passion. You were straight with me, I was straight with you, and I guess we can expect that from each other. But the whole purpose of this broadcast is to say I'm not getting worked up about it. I'm getting worked up about our sin and our issues as believers, and we got to wake up. If we took all the energy and passion that we have on the election and put it towards personal awakening, man, we'd change the nation. So let's do that together, Jay, all right? Let's do that together in Jesus. Amen. I said amen to my own words. What do you know? Mary Ann in Sarasota, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. You hit a point with me that I've had to deal with the last few months. It is so correct. Your issue on do we get worked up about either men running for president? We, our first thing is revival, that God would send revival to us, to we who are Christians, who claim to be belong to Jesus. That is absolutely it. So God's had to do a work in me, and what you've said today has just set me on fire, because that's exactly the thing that God has shown me. And I appreciate you so much.
Well, Marianne, thanks for saying that. You know, it's so easy for us to say, yeah, we know the real issue is revival in the church. But, you know, your blood gets boiling, the ads, the debates, everything going on. You put everything into it. What we got to do is dial it down. The election is important, but far more important is the state of the church. Thank you for the call. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm not going to have a chance to share excerpts of my latest Town Hall article, so go there tonight or through tomorrow morning when it's on the homepage. It's called Chris Matthews, Abortion and Sharia Law Hysteria, and then pass it on to your friends. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Patricia in Patricia in Boone, Iowa. Let's go to Frank in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Frank. But I just want to say, for the caller that you was talking to a while ago, I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's what I was going to say, is that we're not voting for a pastor to rule over us in a spiritual manners. We're talking about a civil or a political issues here. And I'm voting for people that are for life and for the things that Christians value, like freedom and things like that. So I appreciate your words to him. You took the words right out of my mouth. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate that. Let me say again, I don't have an argument with you if, as a follower of Jesus, you don't want to vote for Mitt Romney because of his Mormonism. If that's a conviction to you, or you feel it's important, or you feel it's going to help normalize Mormonism in America or something, or you feel it's going to impair his judgment, I don't have an argument with you. I have an argument with you if you're going to say you can't vote for Romney based on that, but then you're going to go ahead and excuse Barack Obama's stance on abortion and marriage and family and religious freedoms and stance on Israel and other things like that, that's where I would take issue with you. For those sitting out the election, you got no argument. I know it's important. You can vote for other people. There are other people that are running for office locally that you can be voting for. And you could send a message with a third-party candidate. That's something you got to work out. What I just am going to take exception to is someone blasting the idea of voting for Romney because he's a Mormon and then supporting voting for Barack Obama. But I want to say again, my emphasis is not there. My emphasis is on awakening in the church and the moral cultural revolution we need, and that I stand for every day on this radio show, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, is for a Jesus revolution. Not one fought with anger or hatred or weapons of war, one fought with the love of God and sacrificing our preferences for the good of others and being radical Jesus followers who bring radical change to our society. All right, phones are jammed. Let me see how many calls I can get to before we're out of time here. Karen in Lexington, North Carolina, thanks for calling the broadcast. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air. Is this Karen?
Oh, yes. This is Karen.
Go ahead, please.
I'm calling about the election right now, the different candidates, and the belief that we need to watch out for, because these are the end days and these are the end times, and we got to be very careful, because even right now the Christian can be deceived. So I think we need to check out what a Mormon is. Even though this man stand up and say he's a Christian, I'm not saying who to vote for, but we need to be careful of who's who. Even though Obama is for abortion and gay rights, but you also got to be careful of the Antichrist. Even though it's not time for him, but still you need to be careful of what we're doing. Look up Mormons and find out what Mormons believe in. And
yeah,
that's
Karen,
my discussion.
Yeah, Karen, I think it's very important to use this subject now, the fact that Mr. Romney is our potential next president. Certainly he is the major opposite candidate to Mr. Obama. A great opportunity for folks to find out what Mormons really believe. And a true blue Mormon who holds to the fundamentals of Mormonism is not a born-again disciple of Jesus, according to the scriptures. It is a cult, and it needs to be recognized as such. Now, there are many Mormons that don't really fully understand the doctrinal distinctives and who are actually closer to being Christians, to being followers of Jesus, because they have strayed from Mormonism. But Karen, 100% right. A true blue Mormon is not a disciple of Jesus. They are part of a cult, and we need to pray for awakening and to get past that deception. All right, I'm looking at phone lines jammed and basically 3 minutes. So let's see if I can get to another call or two. And then, we can keep talking about this up until the elections. Ann, somewhere in Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say that, you know, what you had said is the priority. We're all talking about this person and that person, but, you know, the Bible says, Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man who puts his trust in a man and maketh flesh or people their arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. And Judges 21:25, it tells us that everyone does what's right in their own eyes. And if we do not go back to the Word of God, study the Word of God that we might be approved, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, and we are led by mankind. God can never bless us. There can never be revival unless we return to His Word and to the doctrines of the Holy Word and ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse us through the Word and that He would revive us in the church. That being said, my last comment is that it does say in 1 Timothy 2, 1-3, that we are to pray for those that are leading, that we might live a quiet and godly life in the Lord. So we are to pray and participate. But as you said, so rightly so, we are not to put our faith in men, but in our God and in the Holy Spirit who lives within us to orchestrate revival and to help us and to guide us in our daily lives. And
absolutely, absolutely. And I just got to jump in. Just got to jump in because of time here. By all means, when we lean on the flesh and when we put our trust in, if this one is elected, then at that point we are already defeating ourselves. The good news is that more and more believers are recognizing that they cannot put their trust in a political savior, especially with these elections. All right, you know I always talk straight with you, talk honestly with you, and I would really like to think that you listen to the broadcast not just for entertainment and not just for information, but for edification, and because your heart burns with the same things mine burn with. The special offer we put together yesterday, I thought would be one of the best things we've put together to really stir and ignite hearts. And I was really surprised just when I got our update each day on responses to see how little response there was. This is not a sales thing for me. We're not on the air to make money. In fact, it's a challenge to believe God to pay bills. But I'm telling you, this is serious stuff that'll change your life. If you want just the lightweight, candy-coated stuff, this is not for you. But if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, yesterday's resource offer is just what you need. So take advantage of it today. My book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, together with Whatever Happened to the Power of God. I'm talking about meat for serious people of God that will stir you and perhaps impact you for life. Those two books in one, together with the CD of yesterday's broadcast, $20 postage paid, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, stir your own heart, get with God, say, here I am, send me, use me.